My cousin Mark works in a warehouse, and he shifts packages around on and off lorries and moves them around the warehouse. And the management are always under pressure. They've got to hit their targets. And so they pass that pressure downwards. Each week it seems to get more and more demanding, more and more things that they have to do, more and more jobs, less and less time, the same money. The management expects more and more. And if anyone raises a concern, they're just told, get on with it. You've just got to suck it up and get on with it. Mark is a Christian. How does he respond to that? How do you deal with that kind of situation? Do you remember, let's see if this works. Do you remember this poster that Louis showed us last week? From Scotland. Dear bigots, you can't spread your religious hatred here. End of sermon. Yours, Scotland. That is what at least some of the authorities in Scotland think of Christians. That we are bigots. How should Christians who face that kind of misunderstanding and attitude, how should they react? Well, it's these kind of issues that Peter is dealing with today in the passage we're looking at. He has already said that trusting in Jesus means we are born again into a new people, which has a new future and a new true King Jesus. He has said that people who are new people must be holy. If you're here last week, remember, love Jesus, love people, and love life. But how does that work when you're at the bottom of the ladder and there are lots of people on the rungs above? How does that work? How do you live as a Christian as you relate to the authorities and the state? How do you live as a Christian in the workplace? Well, Peter's answer is very straightforward, but is really hard to take on board and to go with. So let's have a look at it. Have a look at verse 13. On your knees in the pews if you've got one. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. And then just flip down to verse 18. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. It is very simple what Peter is saying. If you are a Christian, you must submit yourself to those in authority over you. It's very simple, but it's quite hard to hear, isn't it? I wonder how do you feel about that? How do you feel about what Peter is saying? Is Peter just telling us to be a doormat? Well, if you look all the way through that passage, it says submit to the authorities. But if you flick down all the way through, it says, for the Lord's sake, in reverent fear of God, because they are conscious of God. It is God's will. It keeps coming up. And the difference between being a doormat and being a Christian is that a doormat has no choice. But a Christian chooses to submit. Because of Jesus. Now, does anybody know what a car with flags on it like that would be? What kind of car is that? Shout it out. A diplomatic vehicle, yeah, that's right. And I'm pretty sure that's a Russian flag. So if the door opened and someone stepped out, you would know that the person stepping out of that car is a Russian diplomat. And if you saw a Russian diplomat, he or she would not be subject to the laws of this country, if they're in this country. They have diplomatic immunity. because they represent Russia in England. They answer to Russia, not to England. But, most of the time at least, while they're in England, they do obey the English rules because their government wants them to. And Christians are a little bit like a foreign diplomat. We are a people who live in this country, right amongst it all, but our allegiance is to Jesus. We answer to him. And that means we are no longer subject to the laws and authorities of England, because we are subject to Jesus. But Peter says, now choose to submit yourselves to those authorities. You're not a doormat, but God is calling you to choose to put yourself last, to put yourself on the bottom rung of the ladder, to put others ahead of you. I wonder if that makes sense. I was in a queue in Burger King in the last week, and I was queuing up, and someone, this young lad, just walked in front of me and stood in the queue in front of me. It was brazen as anything you like, and it worked because he got to the front of the queue, and then the person asked him what he wanted, and he got his burger and stuff, and then how do you think? What was my response? Well, my response was just to be silently very angry. But there have been other occasions when I've been in a queue or something like that, and I've seen a friend who's in a hurry, and I've let them go in front of me because they're in a hurry and they're my friend. And I've chosen to let them go. The difference, I mean, the outcome is the same, isn't it? Someone has gone in front of me, and I'm inconvenienced, and they get to go first. The difference is the reason, and the reason makes all the difference, doesn't it? When someone just steps in front of you, that's offensive, but when you let them go, that's good. Well, it's something like that here. Peter says, choose to submit to those in authority over you. But what does that look like? So let's get real. Let's look at the two examples that Peter gives, the public square and the workplace. So first of all, submit yourself to the authorities. That's verses 13 to 17. Choose to submit yourself to every human authority, Peter says. So that is from the Queen to the local traffic warden. It means submit yourself to the law of this land. It means seek to be a genuinely upstanding member of society. So, an example. Imagine that you're driving along at 11 o'clock at night, and the roads are just empty, it's clear, and you come to a section of road where there's a school, and the local council has recently made it a 20-mile-an-hour zone. It's wide road, it's clear. What do you do? It is ridiculously slow. And there's no one around. What do you do? It's so easy, isn't it, to justify breaking the speed limit. And it seems like a really silly thing. So why would you keep it at that moment, in that situation, when the law seems silly? Or what about paying tax? If we don't record some things, or if we pay cash in hand, it'll be cheaper for everyone, won't it? And only the tax man loses out. So why go so far to submit everything to the Inland Revenue? Or what about when authorities misunderstand and accuse and attack you for being a Christian? Injustices like that poster, or like much worse things that happen around the world. Have a look at verse 15. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. It is so tempting, isn't it, to say, I don't have to obey these stupid rules or submit to these oppressive authorities, so I won't. I'm a new person in Jesus, I don't need to, so I won't. But Peter says, choose to submit because it shows integrity and it shows the power and the truth of the gospel that you believe in. That's the first example. It's hard, isn't it? Secondly, verses 18 to 20. Submit yourself to your boss. Now, if you look at verse 18, it talks about slaves. Now, don't think 18th century slaves in America, slave trade, that sort of thing. It's not quite that, really. It's more like a household servant. Like Downton Abbey sort of thing. Except that these household servants were still owned by their masters. So they can't just leave and go and work for someone else if they don't like it. But actually, isn't that true if you're working a job as well? You can't just leave, can you? Because you have bills to pay. You need an income. You probably have a contract. So we fit into this category too. If we're in a job, if we're doing a job, Peter speaks to us. So how should we, if we're Christians, how should we live in the workplace? Peter says, submit yourself to the boss. Even if they don't deserve it. I used to work in a telephone sales team for a bike shop. And I really didn't like it very much. I used to answer the phone and either the person on the phone would be asking for help to buy a bike, and that, you know, that's fine, or they'd probably 60% of the time be shouting at me because their bike hadn't arrived or there was some problem. And throughout my time there was loads and loads of grumbling at the bosses and at the management. And I think it's fair to say that a lot of it was deserved. They made some decisions that made it hard for us. We had a bad computer system. We had difficult targets to meet. And we had a lot of complaints from all the customers. And I tried really hard not to join in with the grumbling. And it was hard. And I'm sure I slipped at times. I tried really hard, though. And it did lead to a few moments when a colleague asked me why I didn't join in. And in those moments, I was able to explain that I follow Jesus and that he is my king and that he's given me a new life and he wants me to be distinctive and different. Now, it wasn't much, but those moments wouldn't have happened if I'd just been joining in with all the grumbling and complaining. Submit yourself to the boss. That's what Peter says. Now, I'll just say at this point, it's worth noting this. Peter is not saying workplace bullying or abuse is okay. He's not saying that. He doesn't say suffer in silence. And so if you were going through that this morning, in some way, you don't need to suffer in silence also. Come speak to me, share your problems, talk to another Christian. He's not saying that it's okay. But in the normal way of things, how do you, if you're in the workplace, how do you speak to your boss? Peter calls us to be respectful and generous. How do you speak about your boss? I have not been to very many staff rooms or break rooms where gossip and backbiting about the management is not a problem. It's not just everywhere. Peter calls Christians to have integrity. How do you respond when your boss piles on the pressure and the targets and starts treating you unfairly? Maybe like the example of Mark earlier, my cousin Mark earlier. Well, Peter calls us to endure unjust suffering because we're conscious of God. What does that mean? Well, conscious that God knows everything that is going on. And so we can choose not to retaliate, but either by rebellion or grumbling, because we can leave the judgment to God. And he will judge one day. And also conscious of God's plan to save people. So we can choose to submit ourselves, even to unfair treatment, because it might lead to our colleagues or our boss coming to know Jesus. Submit to the authorities, submit to your boss. That's what Peter's saying, and it's really hard, isn't it? I know that it's hard to live that out. All of it. Putting ourselves last, choosing to submit ourselves to those in authority, choosing to endure injustice is hard. And that is why we need that last section, verses 21 to 24. Have a look at verse 21. So all those things, submitting to yourself to this, submitting to the authorities rather, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Just think about Jesus for a minute. He had diplomatic immunity like no one else. He was the Son of God. God the Son. Higher than any authority you can imagine. The King of Kings. He does not belong anywhere near the bottom of the pile. He is right at the top. And yet he chose to come down. He chose to become a human, to live a life like ours, but without sin. He chose to submit himself to the authorities, even though they were unjust and evil. He chose to be small and weak for us. That is why we can choose to submit to authorities, because he has done it first. Jesus knew that God is the judge. He chose to submit himself to the most awful injustice ever carried out, ever in the history of the world, as he died on the cross. But God saw it all, and one day every injustice will be righted and will be judged. And Jesus submitted himself to the injustice because he knew that God will judge one day. And that means we can do that too. We can suffer injustice and endure and be sure that one day true justice will be brought about. And Jesus chose our good over his own. He was insulted, he suffered, he was wounded, he was put to death in shame and disgrace. All so we could be forgiven. So we could be healed and given new life. So he chose to suffer for our good. And so, if we are Christians this morning, if we're his people, we must choose the good of our boss or our colleagues, our neighbours on our nation, and put them first. And submit with grace and gentleness to all those over us. Let me pray.